This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 8:37 in the morning. It is Friday, the 30th of June, 2017. I'm Koo Soo Chung, joined by Tan Chung Khan. And of course, we just had Dato' Dr. Siew Kar Wai, the chairman of Tourism Malaysia Board. And I think he quite rightly points out, Han, that there are social implications to tourist arrivals in this country in terms of, our prices, inflation, of course, and the multiplier effect of tourism. But, you know, as a corollary, and I'd like to point out, that also Malaysia has an equivalence issue in terms of how we deal with our people, our migrant workers, our labourers, and things like that. Mm. And under the spotlight this morning for our current affairs segment, which is going to start in a couple of minutes, it is the fact that Malaysia has been upgraded from Tier 2 watch list on the Human Trafficking Index to Tier 2. That's an upgrade by the US government. And of course, we have come under fire, Han, by certain advocacy groups and rights groups saying that, you know, this upgrade has been a bit of a red herring. Because we haven't really paid attention to our human rights.
But yeah, now when you look at the kind of gains that we have made, at least in terms of the rankings of this report, you know, we have to highlight the fact that back in 2014, we were in Tier 3. Then over the last 2 years, we were on the Tier 2 watch list. And now from the latest report, we are now upgraded to Tier 2. So in other words, moved out of that watch list. Now, according to their definitions of what Tier 2, what does that actually mean? According to the definition in the report, we are one of the countries whose governments do not fully meet the TVPA's minimum standards, but are making significant efforts to bring themselves into compliance with those standards. So we are categorized we are in the same category as the likes of Japan, Singapore, Indonesia, Vietnam, etc.
Right. I find it mildly ironic that the same country who suffers from various human rights abuses, and of course with the Mexican wall that is being mooted as well as Gitmo, is also analyzing us. But, you know, it is a necessary evaluation of where we sit on the table.
Right.
Now, let's start with a few clips. And we've obviously got one of our guests, Phil Robertson. He's the Deputy Director of the Human Rights Watch Asia Division. And he's criticized the U.S. for upgrading Malaysia. Let's listen to him.
We don't believe that the upgrade is merited based on what Malaysia has done on human trafficking. In fact, it looks like Malaysia has once again gotten a sweetheart deal from the U.S. State Department. They have still not done what is really needed to provide effective protection of trafficking victims. There is a failure to adequately identify victims of human trafficking by frontline responders, based in part because the trafficking law is still a mess. It's conflated people smuggling and trafficking in the same law, so there's almost like a buffet line kind of choice for the officials to decide, well, you know, is this person a trafficking victim? Is this person someone I should consider an illegal migrant? And for many police, it's much easier to classify them as a legal migrant. And that's reflected. Rather than understanding that there's also a lot of debt bondage and significant problems connected to foreign workers being brought into Malaysia from countries, in many cases, far away as Nepal, and then being held in effective debt bondage and not being able to exercise their rights and being unable to leave. You know, and there's also other major problems connected to, the degree to which the government is responding in a proactive way on the issue of the Rohingya trafficking, where basically, with the exception of a few foreign nationals, almost no one has been charged with trafficking of Rohingya into Malaysia, whereas on the other side of the border, where Thailand got a Tier 2 watchlist rating, we see over 100 prosecutions taking place. So it's quite clear that there's a disparity here. If you look at the other nations in ASEAN, for some reason, Malaysia always gets a special pass from the U.S. State Department. And I think it undermines rather than encourages more effective responses on human trafficking by the Malaysian government.
Hunt, to be fair, I think Phil Robertson is right. He's got a point, but also the contrarian side is a point as well, because there is no perfect science to analysis and studies, especially for NGOs who are not necessarily based in Malaysia or not staffed with the full complement of human capital to analyze the real situation. I mean, we've got a few million migrant workers here and labourers, and, you know, empirically speaking, some of the Nepalese and the Myanmarese that I speak to in my neighbourhood, they're very happy here, and they've been here for 10, 15 years. They've made, they married locals, they're starting businesses. Some of them are doing really quite well. Mm. And, you know, immigrant business, immigrant entrepreneurs are very, very successful when they put their minds to it.
Now, I think, you know, while the, well, I would like to think that his intentions were good that from the guests that we mentioned, I think obviously there's plenty more room, you know, that we can improve on that front in trying to curb human trafficking through Malaysia's borders. But, you know, at the same time, going back to the example that he cited earlier, you know, for example, Nepali workers were brought here and then perhaps mistreated by human employers. I think it's very important to note that the reason we're talking about this is because there's also that social element as well. So in other words, it's Malaysian society, not just a government thing. I mean, granted, the government has to roll out the framework, has to make sure that enforcement is tight, but there is a lot of perpetrators are actually elements of Malaysian society themselves. We are the ones who are actually, you know, abusing these foreign workers, right? So there is that that element of ownership that has to be shouldered by Malaysian society. But then, you know, just going back to that report, yeah, some of the numbers there, yeah, they are quite dismal because of the over 1,500 victims identified. This is human trafficking, yeah. The Malaysian government conducted only 106 risk assessments. That's what, less than 10%. Only 6 victims were granted work visas. 12 got special immigration passes for freedom of movement. So again, plenty of work to be done, but I think that responsibility has to be spread out a little bit more.
Okay, well, a point of view from the from Phil Robertson, he will ask, you know, we asked him whether Malaysia would be placed differently on the State Department's report if they were being the ones replacing.
Malaysia would either be Tier 2 watch list or Tier 3. I would say that if Tier 3 would probably be more appropriate, but, you know, unfortunately, what we're seeing is that these determinations are arbitrary and they're politically influenced by Washington, and they're, you know, the decisions taken at very high levels within the State Department and the White House. You know, there needs to be a better formulation on how different countries are classified. They have to take the politics out of the rankings and allow for rankings to be based on facts and also on the ground assessments. And this is the problem. I mean, I think that the Congress is quite focused on reforming the way the State Department deals with this report and the way that they reformulate their rankings, in part because there's been problems in Malaysia. Malaysia has stood out as the poster child for politicization of the anti-trafficking report by the State Department, and it is, I think, reflecting a larger problem within the system that now needs to be addressed by the legislative branch of the United States.
That was Phil Robertson, Deputy Director of the Human Rights Watch in Asia. And I think he's got a point because there is no perfect science to analysis, but it does put us on a necessary evaluation from third-party independent, well, at least overtly independent parties outside of the country in terms of where we sit on the Human Rights Watch. So ongoing investigation, ongoing evaluation, I think quite rightly so as well. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.